on the Pilot TV podcast this week. We're hunting for podcasts, in fact, in Nazi-occupied France and Stephen Knight's adaptation of All the Light We Cannot See on Netflix. Heading up north, really far north, for the new series of Shetland on BBC One and finding out just what it takes to save the world from our ridiculous bias against animation in the second season of Invincible on Prime Video. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to the Pilot TV podcast, your essential guide to every show that matters, and a podcast that, instead of our usual blend of critical appraisal, timely news, and slightly chaotic chat, will now spend the next 90 minutes in blissful, contemplative silence.
You're such a dick.
Why, you might ask, would we choose to make no sound whatsoever, an entirely audio medium? And the answer is out of respect for Kay, because silence is now very much her jam. Not the Martin Scorsese movie, but rather the act of saying nothing. Yes, that's right. One of you wished upon a star and it came true. Isn't that right, Kay? Do you want to explain?
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, first of all, I should just say that this week, James replied to someone on Twitter about the fact that Boyd and I never buy him Christmas presents. So I have given him the gift of telling him that yesterday I spent, for a feature, I spent a day on a silent retreat. So for about 6-7 hours, I was entirely silent. I know people can't fathom that that's even possible for me. And I also was wondering, would I be able to do it, because I am a chatterbox and I'm constantly plugged in with everything. But for those 7 hours, I did not talk. I didn't watch TV or listen to anything, listen to music, anything. Didn't read, nothing.
What did you do?
So as part of the day, you do. It's quite structured. So like there was a couple of meditation sessions, blah, blah, blah. We had lunch. You can walk the grounds, et cetera, et cetera. But you're just not, crucially, you're not being stimulated in any way externally. So you're just left with your thoughts, which when I told...
I mean, I get that on this podcast, so...
When I told some of my friends were just like, oh my God, I would not be able to be left alone with my thoughts. I just can't. I constantly need to be distracted, which is part of the thing, right? We're just never unplugged. And so, yeah.
So it's like a mindful day.
Yeah, kind of. Like you're just calming your like nervous system and your brainwaves slow down and just like, yeah.
I have questions. First of all, did you go there with any friends? Did you know anyone?
I actually did.
I was going to say, because otherwise, like just being silent, that's me in any social situation. So that's absolutely fine. But were you reenacting that episode of Fleabag? Is that what this was?
Yes, basically that, yeah. Everyone said that. And also, Boyd used
the Everyone said that, by the way.
Oh, right. No.
Just to make it clear that I wasn't being funny or in any way original.
No. Okay, good. I might have heard that before. And also, I had Boyd referencing Alan Partridge as well.
There's a great episode of this time with Alan Partridge where he goes to a silent retreat and gets really annoyed with everyone. It's hilarious.
I think a lot of people wouldn't be able to handle it.
Were you allowed to eye roll?
Yeah, you can do it.
Did you do that a lot? Did you sprain an eyeball?
I sprained it more on this podcast. No, I didn't. And actually, do you know what's really weird? Because I was scared about it, thinking, oh my God, am I going to have like some meltdown? I actually adapted very well to it, and it turns out I do enjoy silence. So maybe
a whole new world for you. I mean, it might affect the podcast. But
well, at moments, if I feel, you know, if I feel called, I might just go into stillness and silence. And you just,
I mean, James is checking his emails. So, I mean, why not? Why not be silent?
Silently, though, Boyd. Crucially, I was silently checking my emails. Yeah. No, this is a fascinating thing to me. This is my idea of hell. You're aware of this. I could not, like, I can't walk 5 minutes down the road without listening to an audiobook or a podcast. Like, I cannot.
But that's most people because we are sort of like overstimulated, right? We fill every second of every day with, you know, even when it's coming, like, for Boyd when he says he's about to go to sleep, so he listens to your voice. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
like,
I can understand that. I am quite soothing.
Yeah, so
it's not James Solo.
It's me. He listens for me.
I listen to the Empire podcast.
No, Boyd records him a voice note every night, just wishing him sweet dreams, Boyd.
I tell you, his voice is the best one on the Empire podcast, obviously.
You're saying it's not me?
It's Helen.
It's Helen. Yeah. Helen's got very good,
the lilt.
Very good broadcast.
I'm hurt. Well, are you saying I'm not like ASMR worthy?
No. I mean, it's fine. Chris Hewitt's voice is actually a bit irritating.
How rude.
He doesn't listen.
That's going to become my ringtone.
He won't listen. He never listens. But in comparison, Helen's voice to, you know, is a more lilting.
An unprecedented attack on Paul Chris.
I'm joking.
Do you remember when I did the subliminal programming of you, Boydie?
Yeah, that was good.
That was fun.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that a lot.
That was good.
I should start doing that. Maybe I should start going to sleep listening to your Arsenal podcast.
I mean, you know, you could do worse.
I mean, we know how much you love football.
I do love a bit of football.
It will certainly lull you into
I don't know what's happening.
Deep sleep. Yeah.
But yeah, so Boydie, would you do a silent retreat?
Absolutely.
Boyd,
when I came
in today, he was asking me about it. And he said, what do you mean you can't watch TV? And I was like, well, you're in silence. And that's his idea of hell.
I don't think I did say can't watch TV. I was joking. But the thing that I think is genuinely startling is you can't even read a book. I mean, yeah.
Well, the whole point is you're not meant to be stimulated by external things.
Yeah, but
talk me through the day, right? You get in.
No one's interested.
Really? They give you a croissant and a hot chocolate. Yeah, I genuinely do. So what do you do? Like, so obviously, how many people are in the group?
Look, I'll say there's about. Maybe there were about 20 people
So is the bit where everyone gets to know each other, the intro, is it just like you just nod at each other, offer a bit of a croissant?
Start the second that you
go in. Sign language. Can you do a bit of sign language? Rude gestures, are they allowed?
I think if we were doing it together, there'd definitely be a bit of that. us flicking him the bird. Anyway, let's move on. I can tell you off mic, but if anyone's interested, get in touch. But it was, do you know what? It was an interesting experience and I would recommend, like, I personally enjoyed it, and I think it is a good. It's like a brilliant reset. Like you,
is it run by like monks or something?
No, but you can do them in
So who runs it?
A woman called Marion Young, who's amazing, and she runs these retreats.
Was it a mixed gender thing?
Yeah.
Was there any canoodling going along?
Nudity?
Well, yeah. Was there any nudity? Was there any canoodling? Because I'm saying, you have a lot to do, so people have to find their own fun.
I don't want to know about how that goes down with you, James, if it's silent or not. So let's move on, please.
Okay. So clearly, Kate doesn't want to talk. She's reluctant to talk about it. I think it's because what happens at the silent retreat stays at the silent retreat, and that's why she doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, who are you mingling with at the silent retreat?
Now, when you say silent retreat, are we talking orgy? Is that basically what this was? Was it a silent sex retreat? Is that what it was?
All I would say is there will be a Netflix drama about it shortly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on flicks. If you're going on a kink-friendly silent retreat, I am not judging you.
Can I just tell everyone listening, right? Before we got here, and Boyd and I were walking to the pod, and I gave Boyd a fair warning. I said, he's very smiley today. Something is going on. He's been very twinkly-eyed and very giddy.
I think it's because he went to see Arnold Schwarzenegger last night.
Oh, is that it?
I did, in fact.
And so he's all gassed up.
Yeah, he loves Arnie. Okay, he thinks he's friends with Arnie.
My close personal friend, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I gave you that book.
You did, but it was so he did a reading. It wasn't actually a reading at all. I don't know why I said that. He gave out the books there, but it was the Royal Albert Hall, and he did a talk there. It was like 4,000 people.
Did
it was like a sold out show.
Look at him, he's so privileged.
I was invited as a guest. I had a box. There was pizza. It was lovely.
You had a box?
Yes.
You didn't tell me that.
I was in a box and there was pizza.
Fucking
and
hell.
Drinks.
Free
I had a diet
pizza
coke.
Drink.
So what, he just talked about his book, he read
He talked about many things. He didn't talk a lot about acting, because obviously the strike is currently going on. He made a few little references. He did an impression of Sylvester Stallone, which was extraordinary, and I'm very upset I didn't capture it on video. He chatted away. He's quite the raconteur. So, it was quite fun.
That's James's idea of a retreat.
Hanging out with Arnie.
Retreating into
Arnie.
Arnold.
Yeah. I mean, I was silent all the way through the 90 minutes, although it nearly killed me.
Any external stimulation?
I was sitting with Nick. Does that count?
Of course. Absolutely.
That's your
own kind of version of wellness.
A little bit, just basking in the glow of Arnold.
To be honest with you, I'm more on that side of it than the silent retreat side of it.
I did stand up at one point and go, get your ass to Mars!
No,
and then sit down again.
No. See, this is why I go into... That's why I want to retreat into silence.
I mean, we all do now. Changed my mind suddenly.
Fair enough. Okay, right, let the silence begin.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what have we been watching this week, silently or otherwise? Kay, let's start with you.
Okay, so a couple of things I can't go into, but just to say that I've been watching...
Oh, I'm sorry, the twat alarm just went off.
Yes, I know. But I'm not doing it in the annoying way that you guys do it, is to talk at length about how I got the screener
first.
I got the screener first. No, you got it first, et cetera, et cetera. I just got screeners of Hellraiser season 2 of the Hull-based comedy by Lucy Beaumont, Anne-Marie O'Connor and Caroline Moran. Caroline Moran, yeah. I don't know why I'm struggling with that.
No, I mean...
Of all the names to trip over, that seems
Caroline,
like an unlikely candidate.
I mean, John Smith.
Smythe.
I really hope that the majority of my mispronunciations do get cut out, because I always say to James, just cut that out.
Leave them in. Leave them in.
Mispronunciations is the two runners.
So by now, if you do leave it in, then you'll know that I just can't say any name properly. I also watched Apple TV's new period drama, The Buccaneers, 8-part adaptation of the unfinished novel of the same name by American author Edith Wharton.
Because it is a thing that you can't talk about. Well, I'm sure I'll be reviewing it soon on this very podcast, probably next week, James.
What are we reviewing next week? The Buccaneers.
Yeah, The Buccaneers. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, almost certainly.
So, and this is Buccaneers. So it's a period drama, is it?
Yes,
Is it a raunchy period drama?
I've only watched one episode, no raunch.
So I'm not going to get to use the Buccaneers as an intro to the review.
See what I mean? Like, what is going on
with
him?
You are very...
He's very,
highly charged today.
Provocative, yes, highly charged.
Frisky, I'd say. Frisky.
Well, we have been watching some adult animation, say no more. So, you know, maybe that's the reason why.
It's not particularly...
No, not raunchy that.
Anyway.
It's not Bridgerton.
So
anyway.
I won't get to call it the Buccaneers.
And the final thing that I can talk about, which I have been watching. So, I was late to the Lupin party. Okay.
Oh, God, you're completely ruining it.
Trébien?
I was late to it. So, last weekend,
review
I watched
it in French.
10 episodes. I read my way through 10 episodes.
Yeah. This episode.
This episodes. And I've now started the new series. And it is just great to have Omar Sy back as the gentleman burglar. Also, I'm...
Omar C.
Oh, fuck
just
off.
Just to say, yeah.
Do you know what? Right? Before, when I wrote that down, I thought, I'm going to... Because I know I always query names with them before I say it, because I get so fucking nervous getting it wrong. And I thought, I'm not going to, because, it looks like Sy. Just say Sy. Be confident. Yeah. And
right?
I still fucked it.
Beginning to understand why silence was appealing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I can be wrong in silence and just you in my silence.
It's, oh, by the way, it's silence.
Dickhead. I've got to stop swearing.
Why?
I
why change
know.
The habit of a lifetime?
Okay. Sy.
C.
Okay, fine.
Omar
C. Oui. So he is fantastic, really.
Fantastisch. That's really, German.
Yeah, fantastica. And also... I really, really enjoy every time young Asan's on screen because I think he's brilliant. I think he's played by Mamadou Haidara.
Sorry, I laughed.
Should I tell you where we're laughing?
Yeah,
it's
I laughed in the middle of it.
I tell you where we're laughing is because Boyd gave me a little tutorial.
And we let you.
Name.
We gave you a do-over with that one. We even cut the mispronunciation and you still fucked it.
I did snigger it before she was about to say it, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, he did my legs.
Mamadou Haidara.
Yeah,
who
so
knows?
He's fab. And yeah, just good to have him back and enjoyed that immensely. That's it.
I mean, you've absolutely ruined it because I was going to just talk about this program.
Lupin.
Well, dude, because I've only watched one episode.
I have never Lupin'd.
I watched 10 of the chapter,
so
and then the first episode
you've only
of
one
the
of the new episodes. Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Fill your boots.
Thank you very much. Yes, Lupin is back, as Kay might have mentioned. But the new series only dropped a couple of weeks ago, and it was not... one of the, I would say, prime Netflix shows of that week. Netflix did not put screeners out for it.
Furious.
Couldn't get them in advance. I was genuinely furious.
Mm. Furious.
And I do think they're really... I think this is a classic example of Netflix not paying enough attention to its best shows. Because Lupin is one of the best things on Netflix, 100%. And it's absolutely brilliant. And it should be and could be like on the level of Sherlock. You know, the Sherlock is the thing I always compare.
Do you think it's because it's Trey Francais?
I suppose, well, yeah, but they've got like what's it called? Money Heist.
La Casa de Papel.
Casa de Papel. They
He's on
they
some accent
up,
flex now.
They didn't
it's
let
terrible.
Up on Casa de Papel, which was hugely successful, a massive phenomenon. You know, Squid Game, huge, massive phenomenon. Although I think that kind of was word of mouth, didn't, almost in spite of their marketing. I don't remember.
Because we didn't review it when it came out. We came to it later.
Which is always the test.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about the lack of publicity for the show, for Lupin, because it's fucking brilliant. Mm. And as soon as you watch it, I've watched like the first three episodes of this new series, and there's seven new episodes.
Is it formidable?
It's so formidable.
Oh,
it's so
God,
it's so pleasurable.
No, I think we've got to draw a line. Come
plaisir.
On,
no. Boff. That's what I said to you.
Yeah, it's just so pleasurable. I'm still surprised and annoyed that you don't watch it.
Surprised and annoyed.
Both surprised and
James,
annoyed. Because it's the kind
joking?
Of thing.
I've never watched a Lupin.
Yeah, you'd love it.
Please watch
one episode.
It's so good.
It. But it's now got to the point where it's so clever as well, and it's got that thing. The thing that really reminds me. I was trying to put my. Why does it remind me so much of Sherlock? And why do I keep creating Sherlock? It's partly because you've got a genius kind of like at the centre of it. He's a genius con artist and thief rather than a genius detective, but there's a very similar vibe going on in the way that he's treated and glorified, and his brilliance is
stuff of legend,
is the stuff of legend, etc. And also, of course, based on the book, so his character is based on the Lupin novels, and particularly one of the detectives is the one who puts together all the connections, as if like you're putting the connections to, you know, Sherlock Holmes' original stories to the stories,
you know,
that
Sherlock appears in it in
yes.
the books, yeah, but
yes.
they call him, obviously they can't call him Sherlock.
yeah What it is what I've realised, I think, watching these new episodes, is it's got the rhythm of Sherlock. It's got that relentless kind of pulsating, very cinematic, very like with a kind of constantly going soundtrack. It's just kind of like heightened all the way through, and every single scene is kind of like directed, and they direct the shit out of it, and they, you know, it's like completely stylized fun and yet really clever and unpredictable and surprising all the way through.
It's smart. You feel smart
it's
watching
so
it.
Smart. It's so smart. Like, and actually, there are certain occasions where you think you've caught them out. Like, yeah. I was watching episode two. I think episode two is all about the theft of this black pearl.
Episode one.
Oh, okay. And the aftermath is in episode two then. And you think, oh, that, he couldn't do that because of this thing. You think, and then, no, they've already worked that out.
You can never, like...
James probably would find the plot holes, as he calls
James, will you commit to watching the first episode? For Pilot
Lupin.
Plus, yeah.
Oh, is it, so you're oh, I see. So are we staging a mm-hmm. sudden cultural exchange?
Yes.
We're freestyling.
That's exactly
you're calling
what's
an
happening.
Audible.
Wait.
Okay. So I
challenge accepted.
You want me to watch an episode of Lupin, the first episode of Lupin mm-hmm. for the next Pilot Plus. Okay, yeah. I will take your challenge. But I now have to come up with something for you to watch.
Mm. Yeah. I'm Boydo. Don't
obviously,
just
that's true.
Me.
We have a tendency to exclude Boyd from these
yeah,
things. So yes,
yeah.
I need to
watch them. Rewatch them as well.
I need to. All right, you carry on. Yeah. It will be percolating in my brain. Before the end of the episode, I will fish around. Not in my back pocket.
Good.
Do you want to know what's in my back
pocket? Either, thanks.
Huh? And it's not a sex thing. Do you want to know what's in my back pocket? And do you want to know what the thing that I have reserved to throw at you when you least expect it is?
Oh, I feel like I don't know. Should it just stay mysterious?
All right, fine.
It's not Battlestar Galactica again, is it?
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no!
So we did that with Terry.
It's much, much worse than that, Boyd.
God.
All right.
Do you want to know what it is, Boyd?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Go on then.
I'm not going to tell you now.
I'm going to
keep it.
He hasn't opened the pocket.
What back pocket?
The pocket
geez.
Is sealed.
Yeah, the back pocket is sealed.
Yeah, it's ready to be
hopefully hermetically
open.
Sealed.
Anyway, yeah. So the rhythm, the pulsating rhythm of Lupin is extraordinary and it's incredibly exciting. And Omar Sy is fucking Sy. He's an absolute legend.
Every time you say Sy, I immediately perk up.
Yeah, nothing to do with SEE, the frankly ludicrous
genius. Yes.
Apple TV Plus show from Stephen Knight. It's one of the most pleasurable things out there, really, along with
Sherlock.
Do you
think it'll just keep going and going and going?
Does what?
Do you think it will keep on going? I'm worried it's going to stop and I've just got into it.
I think it's probably, I would say there's probably one more at most season in it, I would have thought. I haven't seen any big announcement about it, but it must be expensive because there's so much lavish location work and stuff. Mm. Just the way it's put together feels very, very, feel expensive.
Yeah.
I cannot say enough good things about Lupin.
Everyone get on board. If you haven't watched it, please watch it and then
we'll
discuss.
Everyone get on board, yeah. And of course, the other thing that amazes me about it, which you know, you just have to get reminded of, is that it's created by George K, co-created by George K of Criminal and Hijack fame, and he's this British guy, and it's a complete, it almost like bathes itself in French culture. Like, it's so, the use of Paris locations, for example, phenomenal use of Paris.
Is he connected to France in any way? Does he have any kind of, like,
I don't know. I just remembered. I did a BAFTA Q&A about Lupin with Omar Sy, and, you know, kind of like, it was an online one, so I didn't meet him in person. I met them online, interviewed them online about the show, but I can't remember why George K has a particular attraction or I think maybe he does, maybe he lives there or something like that.
We'll have to listen back to
that.
Boyd's Q&A.
Yeah.
Was Omar very charming, Boyd?
Sorry?
Was he very charming?
Omar Sy is incredibly charming, he knows, and among so many other things I could bang on about was his trainers. Right?
Oh my gosh.
He's training.
Do you know what I thought of you when I was watching it?
Yeah.
Because as I watched like 10 episodes back to back, I was like, oh my God, they keep on zooming in on the trainers. I thought, I bet Boyd likes these.
Were they limited edition, Boydie?
No, they're just good, colourful, brightly coloured Air Jordans mostly. Just Nike, you know, just good Nike trainers, the kind of which I'm wearing right now, actually.
Okay, nice.
And he has good hats as well.
Good hat. Just his disguises are brilliant. Anyway.
Boydie, can I just interrupt?
Yeah.
Can I get a live trainer review from you?
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Let's see.
I mean, they're decent. They're Adidas.
Yes.
And I don't have any Adidas trainers.
Okay.
Having said that, I do have an Adidas clothing because of Arsenal.
Right.
But they're nice. They're orangey.
I think you'll have to put a picture on Twitter.
Retro. They're sort of retro-styly Adidas.
Yeah, in the Adidas world, they're good. Yeah.
Are they box?
They're classic.
Are they box
they're
fresh?
Quite classic. No.
I don't know what that means.
Are they new?
Well, they were new when I bought them. They're not new now.
Oh, God. Only he would answer like that. I mean, God, what the hell?
That was brilliant.
And I'm going into silence.
Genuine. I don't know. I thought I didn't get them off like Vinted or anything. Like, I just, you know, bought them.
Yeah, she was just asking how recently you bought them.
I've had them for a few years. They're not new. Yeah, I wear them infrequently.
There you go. It's a special occasion.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was seeing you two.
And Arnie, maybe you wore them for Arnie.
That's right. So. I did actually wear them for Arnie last night. That is true. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, Lupin, 7 episodes in part 3. They call them parts rather than seasons, by the way.
I even enjoy that.
Well, yeah, just like...
Chapters, though. They call them chapters, don't they?
Well, the season is called The Part, and I think within that is chapters.
Right.
So each episode is a chapter, and each season is a part.
I mean, it is.
What did you say?
It's très pretentious.
He said it's ridiculous. Petit pretentious. Yes. I agree with that. But sometimes you just got to go with it. And so, yeah, it's fantastic. Fantastically pleasurable. I can't say enough good things about it. And
I won't.
It's slightly annoying that Kay, you know, got there first.
Just ruin it.
Well, listen.
No, she's ruined it.
All right.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Lupin. I will watch that with my eyes for the next Pilot Plus. Now, Kay, I'm going to give you a choice. And boy, you can weigh in on this well. So I was thinking, like, because you really enjoyed talking about Omar C, do we make KC C and make her watch the first episode of C? That's an option. I'm not forcing it upon you. I don't want you to go into it and feeling like it's a chore, because I think we've gone past the punishment phase of the cultural exchange. I don't think there should be punishments anymore. So you have to go to this voluntarily. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand,
yeah,
in box number
fact,
two...
Because for you to watch this incredibly pleasurable program isn't like...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure if C... SEE yes. is on the same kind of thing for
one of the greatest TV shows ever made.
Yeah.
So I think, you know. Because I know that Kay likes a police procedural and she likes a police drama. She loves a bit harding out. So we could go.
Borrow.
We could, no, not steady. We could go with episode one of The Shield, which you have never seen and is phenomenal. Oh, she's pulling her face.
I don't know why you're pulling her face.
Is it?
It's not like police in space or anything.
It's not kind of sci-fi police.
It's police in Los Angeles. Yeah, it's fairly straightforward.
It's humans.
You know.
Oh, okay.
It's humans.
Yeah.
Just
I could watch
policing
that.
Each other.
Right. Or, did you ever watch Squid Game?
No.
So I then wonder, because you've given me something where I have to be forced to read subtitles, maybe I should return the favour and, you know, I could either do something like the first episode of the first season of Star Trek Discovery, which is at least 30% in Klingon, but that would be harsh. So I thought, you know, Squid Game, you know,
that's quite a good
you know,
idea.
In Korean, you'd say, what's that?
That's violent. Why I avoided it the
it
first
is
time.
Violent, yeah. It's quite
it's
nasty.
Good, it's a good idea. Also, because the actual game version of Squid Game is coming quite soon.
Yeah, so actually, it might benefit you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's your choice. You've got 3 options there. Do you want to think about it?
Yeah, I think I need to mull it over.
Before the end of the episode,
we need
a decision.
It's a mull.
All right. Anything else, Morty, or are you done?
It was pretty much just Lupin.
Lupin. Très bien.
I think.
Because
I mentioned Banged Up last time, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you did indeed.
Yeah. I've watched the second episode of Banged Up, but...
Were they still banged up?
They're still banged up. It's still distressing
spoiler
to watch.
Alert.
And it's still a lot to deal with.
What have I been watching? Well, something I noticed recently is all of the episodes of the new season of Slow Horses are now available for you plebs.
That's in my news section.
On the regular Apple screen. Obviously, someone such as myself would have obviously seen it weeks ago. But, you know.
Wasn't it you referred not 10 minutes ago to the twat?
Yes.
Or did you call it a twatometer?
I had a twat alarm that went off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the twat
sound
alarm
again,
has
Darren.
Gone off the scale. Yeah.
The twat alarm is definitely
big
sounding.
That was news of the week. You ruined it. I ruined it for Boyd. Now you're ruining it.
Yeah, now I'm ruining it for you. It's not about fair play.
Talking of pleasurable viewing.
Well, well done you. You can now watch it. Let me know what you think.
And everyone else can watch it on the 29th of November, which is when it will drop.
Hang on.
The first 2 episodes.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
I could have sworn it was like the 1st of December.
Well, I'm reading it from the press release and it says 29th of November.
Which case, I will accept that.
The first 2 episodes, followed by 1 new episode every week until the 27th of December on Apple TV Plus.
There you go. She's done you with a press release.
Well done. Yeah. I do not have a press release. Okay,
always
good.
Do his legs with a press
well
release.
Done. Mm. Never bring a knife to a press release fight. What else have I been watching? Do you know what? I have watched all of Gen V. That's what I did this week. Mm. I watched all of Gen V. I have boned up because we need to record a spoiler special because we have done an interview with showrunner Michelle Fazekas. So Sophie did the interview.
Sophie.
We will be doing a spoiler special for Gen V for those of you who subscribe to Pilot Plus. We're also hopefully going to be doing a morning show season 3 spoiler special, which is very exciting because showrunner Charlotte Stout is available. So we're going to try and track her down. And just as a kind of to round it off the sort of trio of spoiler announcements, we put up the spoiler special for the Wheel of Time last week. It was magnificent. I'm sure many of you have listened to it. It was glorious in its nerdery. And oh my God, was it nerdy. But there was something missing.
Very modest you are.
It was magnificent. I'm not saying I was magnificent, but I had magnificent people on it. C.L. Clarke, the fantasy author, joined us to talk. Helen O'Hara joined us, and Helen O'Hara's Nepo baby brother joined us as well. But there was something missing, guys. There was something missing from the Spoiler Special podcast. Do you know who that was? Showrunner Rafe Judkins, who we had requested but was not available, but now may be available. So we're hoping to lock in an interview with Rafe Judkins for Wheel of Time this week, which means there will be a second Wheel of Time spoiler special.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to...
A second spoiler special.
I thought he was going to tag it on and it was going to be like a three-hour podcast.
I mean, I was going to go back and add it into it, but I thought, no. We're going to put this another one. So there'll be another Wheel of Time spoiler special podcast.
And is this for the Pilot Plus subscribers?
It is, yes.
God, what a treat.
So those who do not subscribe to Pilot Plus will obviously be furious, which will undoubtedly include the person who gave us a snarky review this week.
Are you going to read it out?
I don't have it to hand, but the gist, I can't even remember the person's name, but the gist of it was
I'll read it.
The podcast has gone downhill. Are you going to read it out?
Yeah,
you're going to read it out.
I am
going to
read it out.
Kay is going to read out the abusive review that we received on Apple Podcasts.
Can I just say in the meantime, while she tries to find this review, that, if you have got questions for the showrunner of The Morning Show, please send them in.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Boydie. See? That's a really good idea because I always forget.
Yes.
I always forget that.
I know.
Yes. So, if you've got questions for our Morning Show spoiler special and you subscribe to Pilot Plus, do send those our way in some fashion. Maybe whack them over to me on Instagram at James C. Dyer and I will screen grab them and keep them for when we do the spoiler special podcast for that.
It's going to get lost in the triage system.
And same for Gen V. If you've got Gen V questions as well, also send that into the black void, the vortex of my triage bag, not a euphemism, and I'll find them there.
I've just remembered the other show, of course, that I watched this week. Sorry to interrupt. The tension's mounting for this exclusive review, by the way, which I should mention, because I, of course, hosted the screening of The Lazarus Project Season 2.
You did.
I saw some good pictures of you on Twitter.
Yeah, some
posting.
Oh, thanks. The good pictures of the cast, more importantly.
Yeah. And you.
And, yeah, absolutely. And creator Joe Barton, friend of the pod, listener, staunch listener still to the pod, he said...
I mean, he deserves a lot of credit just for that.
Massive amount of credit. We mostly talked about Arsenal and Spurs because he's a massive Spurs fan.
Oh,
and
he
hates... I put this to him. His hatred of Arsenal is properly full on.
I've always liked
Joe
Barton.
You hate Spurs, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't hate Spurs as much. I actually hate Chelsea more than Spurs, you see, right now.
I've got a question. How is it that like Arsenal fans hate Spurs fans and Spurs fans? Like, why that team in particular?
It's mostly geographical. So we're both in North London. It's the North London derby because we're obviously the two grounds are within, a couple of miles of each other, effectively.
Okay.
So that most big rivalries in football are geography based.
So like Man United, Man City.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's actually Man United Liverpool.
Brentford and Watford.
Weirdly, Man United Liverpool is a more vicious hatred than Man United Man City, most people feel.
That's completely undone your point.
Slightly undone my point, but only because it's a historic thing that actually Man City were never that successful until recently when they were taken over by the richest people in the world.
Yes.
So it was never a threat, particularly, whereas Man United and Liverpool were huge. Massive clubs with huge success down the decades. I'm glad you asked me this football-related question. But it was brilliant. The first episode, when we review it properly, when it comes up, embargoed and all that, what a joy to see The Lazarus Project on the big screen.
There was a trailer for The Lazarus Project this week, which we'll talk about in news.
There's more. I could have waited for this for news, I guess, because there's more Joe Barton news in news, which we'll come to. Do you know there's new Joe Barton news?
Well, I'm sure you will tell us.
Yeah, I'll tell you in news. Anyway.
Have we
found the
news? Kay was going to read out the abusive review.
I found the bad review.
Go
on. It's entitled Gone Downhill.
Yes.
And it says, have loved this podcast since its inception, but it's gone downhill ever since they decided to stick half of the pod behind a paywall during a cost of living crisis. The reviews people would normally listen to are now for paying customers only, whilst the rest of us are stuck with ITV show reviews on the non-Pilot Plus pod, which I think I'm saying is very unfair.
Throwing shade at ITV. I like this person.
Wasn't there an adjective about the ITV shows? Or not?
No,
that, do you think I maybe added that when I told you?
James added
when I paraphrased it.
Added his own epithet.
His bias.
In classic James style.
Please name and shame this person for me.
Highly disappointed disappointing as love the banter between the hosts. This is Henna's 13, and Henna's is not happy.
No.
But what we would say, what I would say personally, is that I am privy to all the boring chat about embargoes on our group chat.
And she rarely listens, but she is
I
privy.
Never listen. Mm. I just sort of skim read it and then ignore
only,
it.
She never sinks in. Shows a review. She asked me about an hour ago.
I know. But crucially, she asked what we were doing this week after having told us what we were doing.
That was
quite a special one.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy. Anyway, yeah, so it's all because of the embargoes, isn't it? It's not intentional. It's
all, yes,
not
like- I will say Henna, if that is indeed your real name. Henna's 13, I imagine it's an Ocean's 13 reference, something like that. It's a Henna's 13, so I'm assuming it's Henna.
No? It's all right, we'll go
maybe
with
not, maybe it is
Henna. I think it's Henna.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Either way, I will say that, one, you are absolutely right, there is a cost of living crisis because it costs £7.15 to get a cheese fucking baguette from Pret, and I'm not going to stop going on about that.
He's been wanging on about that.
But I will say, and long-time listeners will of course know this, this was not our choice or our decision.
No.
We were basically told, for those of you who don't know, that this podcast had to end unless we started making money. So
that
we came up with Pilot Plus literally to keep the lights on, and it is and still is the only reason we are able to continue doing this podcast. So if you do subscribe to Pilot Plus and you're thinking of cancelling, please don't, otherwise we are fucked. But more to the point,
you'll never be able to afford those cheese baguettes.
No, absolutely not. I'll be out of cheese baguettes for life. Crucially, we do not hide the good shows behind the paywall, and we do not just do ITV on the main podcast.
And ITV shows are good.
What we do is we put whatever is embargoed behind the paywall because we would not be able to talk about it on the Monday show regardless.
To be honest, and the reason why it might feel like, and it may in fact be the case that we do, we never have to resort to having an ITV or even BBC show in Pilot Plus
resort
is because
to.
They don't, resort is the wrong word.
Yeah.
In this context, what I mean is they don't impose random embargoes on their shows.
Yeah.
That's very much a streaming thing.
That's a streaming thing. So, you know, blame the streamers. They're the ones who randomly decide. So one show will be embargoed until the day it comes out.
For no reason.
Another show, you can review it 2 weeks away in advance.
And it's then like, one show is embargoed until the day before it comes out, despite having aired in the US like a year ago
it's
or something.
It's so frustrating.
It's maddening. It's absolutely maddening.
It's so frustrating that at least once a week I go to Boyd when he tells me about an embargo. When we're writing about something, he goes, you can't give a verdict or anything because it's embargoed. I'm like, let's just not include it.
That's it.
I'm literally zero tolerance. Yeah. It was a really big show and I was like, fuck it.
You've got me started now. By the way, there's one streaming service I shall not name which lists the embargo on its screener site and which is often different to the embargo on their press release about the show.
So you just pick the one that you like.
Yeah, pick the one that I think makes sense. It's extraordinary.
Which one is it?
He's not
naming it. Steady.
You could eat a Paramount Plus. You could eat a bit of Netflix.
You could eat a bit of
Disney. I'm not saying. I think they just have the wrong embargo on the screener side sometimes.
Oh, no, don't say that because someone's going to get sacked.
Boyd
will get sacked.
We cut this out. Yeah.
No, we're keeping all this in. I love this how to make a sausage chat.
No, I meant the person who puts the embargo dates on is going to get sacked, not you.
You see what you've done, Henna? Do you see what you've done?
Yeah, you've made us fight.
You have. So we do apologise. Obviously, no one wants to pay for it. And obviously, we don't make you pay for stuff. You're not forced to pay for it. But frankly, otherwise, you're not going to listen to K having to watch C, and that is 100% worth $2.99 a month.
Is it?
Oh my God. $2.99 a month wouldn't even buy you, and this is absolutely true, half of a Pret cheese and pickle baguette. You can even get half of it for $2.99 a month, so it's a much better use of your money.
If anyone works for Pret, right, just please do Boyd and I a great favour, right? If you could give him a gift card.
Is it the cheese and pickle specifically?
The posh cheese and pickle baguette.
Is that more expensive than
chicken
salad?
I'm just saying, based on the James sort of like EPOS poll whereby I walked into the London Bridge Station branch of Pret and the eat-in price, I mean, I was never going to eat it, but the eat-in price for that baguette was £7.15. Yeah, this is what people pay good money for, this kind of banter.
There are two London Bridge branches.
We're not getting into that.
Let's pull the podcast kicking and screaming back on track. So we've read out the deeply unfair review, which obviously I would be very appreciative if that got revised. But what else have I watched?
What have you been watching? Yeah, that's
obviously Gen V. I've watched Gen V. That was exciting. I enjoyed Gen V. ultimately. So we'll be having the spoiler special for that.
Better than the other thing?
Not better than The Boys, no.
Oh, okay.
No. For reasons that we will get into in the spoiler special, but it's not better than The Boys, I didn't think. The other thing I was watching was random episodes of Friends from, I think it was season 4, when Ross starts dating Emily. And the reason why I started watching it was because I remember the thing that said recently, it was a news story where the writers were saying, good God, Helen Baxendale isn't funny. Okay. And they were really throwing her under the bus and saying, the thing is, if Ross is going to be with someone, they have to be funnier than Rachel, and she just wasn't.
I was like,
do you know what? That's harsh. I'm going to watch Friends, and I know she's funny. She was great in Cold Feet. Let me tell you, she's not funny. They are not wrong. Like the character. It's a little bit painful, the scenes, actually. But the other thing that became clear watching this, I said became clear, I clearly knew this, but it reminded me of this fact, is that, and you don't see it in the morning show because obviously it's not a comedy, but Jennifer Aniston's comic timing is extraordinary. Like, she is such a gifted, not just obviously in terms of her delivery of the lines, but her physical comedy is absolutely on point. I mean, they're all six of them are fabulous.
No, she's the best.
But she is incredible. Like, her double takes, her little micro expressions, she is fucking brilliant. So actually, I think them saying that anyone who is with Ross needs to be funnier than her, that is a very, very high bar to clear.
Yeah.
So
that's James's verdict.
That's my verdict. Jennifer Aniston rules.
Oh, yeah, she's absolutely brilliant. I mean, she's brilliant in all that. Do you remember when she used to do loads and loads of rom-com films?
I mean, were they brilliant?
No. This is my point. Often they weren't brilliant, but she was always amazing.
She was always good, but
they were always worth watching. I did a feature for the long-lamented Word magazine. In the penultimate issue ever, about the brilliance of Jennifer Aniston and in all those films, which are often crap.
Well, because what she had with Friends was the writing was exceptionally good as well. So she had everything going for her there. Yeah. But yeah, really, really good.
And she's still brilliant in The Morning Show.
She is very good in The Morning Show, She's a very good dramatic actor as well. So yes, Jennifer Aniston, fan club president and vice president here.
Yeah.
I think that's everything. Are we done with that section? I believe we're done. That's what we've been watching.
You can know if you've watched anything else.
Can you tell me, Boyd, what else have I been watching?
No, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you're watching Battlestar Galactica. But,
no, I mean, obviously I watched BoJack Horseman because we did it for Pilot. Yes. Sorry, I'm doing Pilot Plus stuff again. See, Henna's going to be fucking furious about this.
Yeah. No, you'll be happy about this because you're mentioning it on the normal pod.
Oh, you're right. So it's okay to talk about it because Henna doesn't have to pay for it. Okay, fine.
It's free content.
There you go. Henna, that was a free little Pilot Plus peek for you. a peek behind the paywall, if you will. Right. What are we doing next? I've got listener question. We should do a listener question.
I had
a listener question for today and entirely forgot to share it with you.
That's unlucky.
Which is in character, I will certainly grant you. Do you know what? I don't think it's fair to spring this on you because it definitely requires some research.
Well, don't do it then.
Yeah.
So, because you'll need to think about it. And I know that we
haven't got time for thinking.
You don't enjoy that. So what I'll do is I will shelve that one. I will shelve that and we'll maybe do it next week. So, because that's quite a good question. So maybe we'll do that next week. So instead,
who's your favourite Friends character?
Who's your favourite Friends character? Just to jump in here and say that this episode was recorded last week before the very sad news that Matthew Perry had died on Saturday. Now, I did debate whether or not we should cut this entire segment where we go on about who our favourite Friends were, but ultimately, rightly or wrongly, did decide to leave it in, but I thought I would drop this in here just to give it a little bit of context. Obviously, very tragic news of his death. He was in a number of other sitcoms, for example, Go On. He did films like The Whole Nine Yards, The Whole 10 Yards. He was in The West Wing and, of course, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip for Aaron Sorkin, but is most famous for playing Chandler from Friends. Hugely talented comedian and a real loss at just 54 years old. Matthew Perry then, who died on Saturday. However, you will now hear a completely inappropriately bubbly and slightly anarchic list of our favourite Friends. All I can do is apologise for the tone and just say we didn't know at the time. Go on then. Who is your favourite Friends character?
That is a tough one. It's a flip between Ross and Rachel.
Okay.
I'm going to go. Do you know what? I'm going to go for Ross.
You're going to go for Ross?
Yeah, he really makes me laugh.
Unusual choice. Do you think Rachel should have ended up with Ross?
Unusual choice.
As opposed to
Joey.
Oh my God, that should never have happened. That should never have happened.
Did you read the 50-part Twitter thread of someone who made an impassioned argument that went viral about how Joey was ultimately the one that Rachel should have? Because
wrong.
He loved her unconditionally. Listen, and he wasn't trying to curtail her career or do any of those things.
No, well, I'll do a 52-post thread on it and why it's, no, like she shouldn't be with Joey. It's a big bowl of wrongness.
A big bowl of wrongness.
Mm. Boydo, who's your favourite?
You're not
character?
Team Joey.
Rachel, obviously.
Rachel's your favourite friend. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Definitely interesting. Not Ross. I mean,
oh, I no, Ross.
What's wrong with Ross?
I love David Schwimmer.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I never, you know, I was never a favourite.
What, do you
Ross.
Prefer Joey?
Do you know
Joey's,
what?
Joey's funnier.
Joey's good.
No.
Yeah, Joey's funny.
Joey's good.
Yeah, Joey's really
all right,
good. Yeah, Joey's great. And
he's like, I thought you wouldn't
Matthew,
like him because he's silly humour.
He is, but this is the crucial thing. This is why Phoebe is my least favourite friend by miles, because
yeah, I mean,
I find her
I'm
character quite grating. And I don't like that stupid archetype. Joey's a more interesting one because his character evolves quite a lot throughout the show. And I think Matt LeBlanc really dialed into what makes Joey work. And it's not just he's stupid, it's that he's really loyal, he's really good natured.
He's lovable,
but he delivers that kind of quote-unquote stupid sort of like material so well, you can't help but root for him. And that's something that's really hard to do with that particular character archetype. So I've got a lot of time for Joey. A lot of time.
Who's your favourite then?
So early seasons, it was Chandler, without a
yeah,
shadow of a doubt.
Mine too, but then I like
but,
shifted.
Yeah, I think the writing for Chandler kind of wandered a little bit as it went. I don't know whether it's that the shtick got a little bit tired.
He became too Chandler for me.
I think maybe that was it. I think his like the sarcastic sort of rejoinders were so strong in the first couple of seasons, and then they lost some of their bite as it went along. And I think whereas Schwimmer evolved more, like he became a much more overt physical comedian. Maybe it's simply because they realised how good he was and they wrote better material for him. So I think he improves as he goes. Like he's fucking brilliant towards the end of it. Really, really funny. I mean, if in terms of classic Friends scenes, in terms of pure physical comedy, there is nothing that holds a candle to the leather pants. It is yeah. Incredible. Every single sequence of that is pure fried
yeah,
genius.
Comedy genius.
It's amazing. But in terms of physical comedy, if you would say to me, who is the best physical comedian in Friends?
Who's the best physical comedian in Friends?
That wasn't the Ribeiro question, but fine.
That would be Jennifer Aniston because hers is much subtler, whereas Ross's physical comedy is much
overt.
More overt.
Yeah.
But I think hers, there's a sophistication to her physical comedy, which is fantastic. But in terms of who my favourite friend is, that's quite a difficult question.
Oh my God,
I'm getting stressed out.
Yeah,
you're giving me anxiety.
Well, listen,
I'm going to say Chandler.
Be a fun thing.
I'm going to say Chandler, but you know, with caveats.
And no mention at all for Monica. But
I like Monica. Oh, Monica, but she's mid-level. Like she's solid. She's dependable. She's great. Nobody loves her. Nobody hates her. She's just really, really good.
Yeah. I think Schwimmer. I think my problem with Ross is he started out just annoying. I think he is annoying.
When Marcel the monkey went, it improved.
Yeah. It just got. He did get better and better. I think. But I think he's irritating to start with. He's more irritating for me than Phoebe. By far, I like Phoebe.
I don't like Phoebe or any of her storylines, or really almost anything that Phoebe does. I don't.
However,
like.
In the comeback, Lisa Kudrow, amazing.
Yeah, she was very good. She was
so
very
good.
Good.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a reader's question, but that was a question.
That was a reader's question. Okay.
Yeah.
A Ribeiro question.
Spin,
I'm making a
spin
new
on
thing.
The question. Which friend are you?
Boydo, you go first.
Ross, probably, I suppose.
You think you're Ross?
Yeah, you are Ross.
You're Ross, the one you find annoying.
Just for, yeah.
No, because, like, quite bookish and...
Yeah, and just for, you know, ethnic reasons.
Not just because you've got big museum energy.
No.
He loves the dinosaurs.
Love it. Love a dinosaur.
I think I started off being Chandler, super sarcastic.
You think?
And then
I see that. I can see that.
No, I think you're Phoebe.
Fuck
Phoebe.
You. Fuck you,
Phoebe.
Boydo.
Yeah.
This will be the only thing that breaks our friendship.
Yeah. Boy, that's really harsh.
Like,
Phoebe's lovely.
Like I've just said Ross is my favourite character. You've likened yourself to him, and I've been
Okay. Monica.
Oh, you've got a lot of Monica.
I've got
in
a little
you.
Bit of Monica.
It's Monica's a serious answer.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm cool enough to be Jen, so.
I think there's definitely some Monica. There's definitely some Monica there.
All right.
I think James is probably Monica as well.
Am I Monica too?
Yeah, I think so.
Just a bit highly strung.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's definitely Monica.
Uptight.
He is male Monica.
Male Monica.
Am I though?
You really are.
I'm not sure.
Anal.
That's true.
Very anal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Two Monicas and a Ross. We're very Geller heavy in this podcast.
We are.
So I'm just going to say.
My God.
Which is great on an
which
audio
works well on radio, but I just did the signal. What did he call it?
Yeah.
The I don't know
the
what
insult.
He,
it was
yeah, when
insult,
he
yeah.
bangs his fist together, mm-hmm. that thing. Yeah.
He just banged his fist together.
I just banged my fist together. Yeah. Right, at you two. I mean, that was a question of sorts. Yeah, apologies to the person who sent in the good question. I will get to that next week when the triage system is slightly more organized. And of course, we do read out stuff from the postbag on Pilot Plus. Just for henna.
Henna's.
Henna. No, it's henna.
Oh, God. Okay, henna, just henna's, get in touch to just confirm that.
Yeah. If Henna is in fact 13, then it just feels like we're being mean to someone very young.
Well,
I
they
don't
were mean
now.
First.
That's true, they
and
were.
That is the definition of bullying.
That is.
if you do want to leave a good review, though, anyone, we would be grateful.
We're
heading towards the 2,000 mark, which is a good thing. So.
Yeah.
And when I say heading towards it with 300 off.
What was it that you said you were going to do?
No,
Boydie, what was it?
He won't be able to remember.
No, he won't. There was a thing that we were going to get.
I mean, I don't remember.
There was a thing we were going to get Kay to do, and I can't remember what it was.
I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you.
It was probably like running naked around the office or something.
I'm not
going to
tell you.
Damn it. If you remember what Kay promised to do, write in and let us know.
Yeah.
That
and
would be
also,
good.
You still owe me that £1,000. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, we will. Okay, fine. That was a listener question. As ever, my inbox is open. Feel free to slide into my DMs, but only on Instagram at James C. Dyer. You can also contact us via at Pilot TV Pod on Twitter or Instagram, you know, or Threads, except they don't have messaging. So, you know, don't do that. Or I don't know, set up a subreddit.
What?
Because, okay, so there's an Empire subreddit. There's an Empire podcast subreddit that now has 500 people in it.
Oh. No.
And it became a thing. So if you want to set up a Pilot TV subreddit.
Oh, no, but is that where, like, people go to be really horrible about things?
I hope not.
Yeah, I think that's what's...
Oh, do you know? No, okay. Yeah. Henna, you are not allowed to set up the subreddit. Yeah. Or I feel that would go badly.
Have you actually looked at the Empire subreddit?
Oh, yeah. They made me a moderator.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I went on there and said hello and they made me moderator.
Oh, I don't want any mean stuff. No.
They're not mean. They're actually quite lovely on the Empire subreddit.
Yeah, but this is Pilot.
Yeah, you're right. They might be terrible.
Yeah.
Who knows? If you want to set up a subreddit, then, you know, feel free. Kay will jump on there and treat you to her silence. What next? News? Let's have news. It's traditionally time for news. What is happening in the world of news?
Well,
I wonder who has something they can tell us.
There's a lot of Doctor Who news this week. First of all, I'm indebted to a lot of our listeners who wrote to me after last week's podcast when I said that the BBC was putting hundreds of episodes of Doctor Who, both new and classic Doctor Who, onto the iPlayer. And I was, but I lamented the fact that the first storyline wasn't
made a big
going
thing
on
of
there.
That.
Yeah, but, I'm not. Hold on. It's easy to get case against hygienics so that I've fucked up. I mean, partly. It's not. There is that dispute is still ongoing.
Yes.
With the son of the creator of
who
first,
won't allow them to appear on the BBC.
But
will allow.
Yeah, they're on BritBox and ITVX, apparently, the first.
Do we know
first
why?
Episodes.
Bigger fee?
I think it is the BBC is the issue, yeah.
This person just has an issue with the license fee and therefore will not allow the BBC to have it.
I think he wants more credit from the BBC for. Obviously, you do sign different deals with different streaming outlets, different outlets and channels, etc. So his beef is with the BBC and not with those other
outlets.
I feel
like it's curmudgeonly.
Well, you may well say so. But at least, the point I'm making is that the first episodes, the first storyline is on those streaming services, apparently BritBox and ITVX. So we could still do our watch, our challenge.
Okay.
For the Doctor Who special coming up.
Yes, we can.
Where we watch the first episode of Doctor
I'm
Who.
I'm still on board with this idea of doing a Doctor Who special.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea.
It'll be brilliant. But the other thing is, they did announce this week the premiere dates of the 60th anniversary, the three specials, debuting on BBC World and Disney Plus. And Disney Plus put out the trailer for it. And it was just kind of amazing to see this Doctor Who through the lens
of... This is what happens when they have a budget.
Yeah, through an American... Russell Davis has been quite open about it. He's just had a bigger budget for this new world of Doctor Who. This
was
new
it everything you
rebirth.
Hoped for? The
trailer. The trailer was brilliant. They've had trailers before, but the most exciting thing about the American version was just seeing how, you know, through American eyes, this is a Disney Plus thing for them, and, you know, how they're marketing it and how it looks, etc. It's just fascinating to see. But anyway, the first of the three specials, titled The Star Beast, will premiere on November the 25th. Episode 2, Wild Blue Yonder, will be on December the 2nd. And The Giggle, the brilliantly named The Giggle, will premiere on my birthday, December the 9th.
December.
Yeah, almost as I tweeted, as if they've done it on purpose. Of course, they clearly haven't.
They might have done.
They might have done. But the first one is the day before, November 25th, is the day before Doctor Who Day, which is November 26th, the 60th anniversary of that very first episode going out on BBC.
The one that you can watch on BritBox or ITVX. Right, okay.
There were also three, just the posters for them were brilliantly designed. Everyone was like, these are stunning posters. The trailer was great. Just the whole thing. We're now in full, you know, getting really fucking excited about the return of Who.
Have you got the ultimate gig and will you be hosting the Q&A session?
I don't think I'll be hosting the Q&A.
What?
They get big for Doctor Who, you know, they get...
And
you
can't get bigger than Boydo.
No,
they I won't hear it. Nope.
It's usually a person of some fame. And like Joe Wiley does a lot of them has in the past. I mean, I've done quite a few back in the day, but it's so huge.
Your TV's Russell. Boyd Hilton.
I know, but they'll get a big star.
Right, I'm boycotting.
How would you feel if they asked me to do it?
I mean, I'd be confused and bewildered since you don't like Doctor Who and have said so many an occasion.
Insult.
Yeah, that would be insanity. I would be furious.
And I revealed myself to be the master.
Yeah. But, you know, no, they'll get someone impressive. It's fine, yeah.
As your agent, I'm disappointed.
No, yeah. No, I can mature about that. I can deal with it. But, yeah, I'm incredibly excited by the whole thing. And you can read my interview with David Tennant and Russell T. Davis in the New Issue of Empire magazine.
You can.
Out today.
And you should, because it is on sale.
It's on sale now. And so I did a news story about the 60th anniversary specials with those two legends. I spoke to those two legends, Tennant and Davis. That's that news story.
This special is, in many ways, a bit of a Tennant's extra.
Very good.
That's what the pause was. He was thinking about
that. Yeah. No, I'm with him.
You could hear the cogs whirring.
The pun cogs were grinding into action. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough, though.
Yeah. Okay, good. Do you want to tell us the Joe Barton news?
The Joe Barton news. And when backstage at the launch for the Lazarus Project, we were chatting away, mostly about football, as I said. But then I said, what are you working on next? And he said he's working on this a spy series for Netflix. Mm. And he just casually went, yeah. And he goes, and it is really, really exciting because Sarah Lancashire's in it. And
wow.
Fucking
what?
Hell. Yeah, Sarah Lancashire's in it. So we talked quite a lot about our amazing, legendary Sarah Lancashire is. But then the news, I think because I was so excited about Sarah Lancashire being in it, I just then talked to him a lot about Sarah Lancashire, you know, has he met her yet, this, that, and the other. And, you know, we talked all about it. But then it turns out, the press release went out yesterday for this show, which is called Black Doves. The whole cast is Sarah Lancashire, Keira Knightley, and Ben Whishaw.
What?
I mean, what? That is one of the best casts, trio.
It's pretty good.
Of legends there. And it's created by Joe Barton. A story of friendship and sacrifice. Black Doves is set during Christmas in London. It revolves around Helen Webb, Keira Knightley's character, a politician's wife, doting mother, and professional spy. For years, she's been passing on her husband's secrets to the Black Doves, a shadowy organisation for whom she works. But when her lover Jason is assassinated, Helen's life is turned upside down, and her only friend Sam, played by Ben Whishaw, can keep her safe.
And is this a modern tale?
This, I think it is a modern tale. Yeah, it looks very much like it is a modern tale.
So up my street.
And Sarah Lancashire will play Helen's enigmatic spy master. So yeah, phenomenally. And all the other cast members, by the way, Andrew Buchan, who's brilliant in
Who Done It on
the edge of the, what's it called?
I don't know.
Broadchurch.
That's it.
Omari Douglas from It's a Sin, legend. Andrew Koji from Warrior.
Yes.
One of your favourites. Catherine Hunter from Andor. Sam Troughton from Chernobyl. I know.
He's got a
What is happening at the moment? Yeah, we've had Sarah Lancashire.
Yeah, you've had Sarah Lancashire twice.
Sarah Lancashire.
Do you know what? We need to do a Boydo reboot. We need to restart him.
Sarah Lancashire. And Gabrielle Creevy, who is in My Skin, and she's brilliant.
Great
so,
cast.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal cast.
That is exciting news.
The whole thing is.
When's it going to be out? We need it now.
Give it to me.
I don't think I've started making it, okay?
Oh, then you can't give it to me.
Joe, pull your finger out. Come on.
But also, we got the trailer for Lazarus Project Series 2.
Yes.
Very psyched about that. Papa Esiedu, Anthony Mahindra, Tom Burke, all the good ones.
Yeah.
Very, very excited about that.
And Papa and Anthony were in the Q&A. Caroline Quentin, Caroline Quentin is the star. So she's so funny. She's brilliant. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, how many episodes have you seen?
Only one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I want them all.
I know. And even that, the version that I saw, I've seen it twice, obviously, at the screening, and they sent it to me first.
Yeah.
Even that had quite a lot of green screen on it, which Joe Barton has expressed his horror in the past before, that when critics have sent stuff.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, with green.
He doesn't like unfinished. That.
No, see, fair enough.
I do quite enjoy it.
I find it very often.
It depends how unfinished it is, but I sometimes quite enjoy it because it's a fascinating look at how these things are put together.
I mean, it is, yeah.
It's very educational.
Yeah, it's like most driving scenes you realise, particularly. Yeah.
Anytime someone has a mobile phone,
it's
a green screen on the phone.
On the screen.
And they add whatever's on it afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And there are loads of screens. Shows with like spy shows and these screens is always...
Anytime there's a TV, most times there's a window, it seems, half the time. It's like got a green thing behind it. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So yeah, that's, we'll be reviewing that soon.
What I love the most, because we're going off track here, and yes, you know, I've had this with a few shows recently, is when not only, when you get really early stuff, not only do you see the green screen stuff, but there'll be production notes on it. It will say, say like VFX to extend the background, and like, or VFX to remove the couple like canoodling on the bench, you know,
I think the most revealing one is that you get sometimes is when there's a note on screen about using
this shit, make it good.
Well, use an alternate cut. I think it sometimes says
use another take.
Another take or another perf or something like that. Perf to be, when you're like, oh, okay. So you want,
what a performance.
And you want a different, so it's fascinating.
And there's ADR notes often there as well, like ADR to put in this, insert this, make this clearer. So I love that stuff. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, completely.
It's very good stuff.
And they were filming Love Spread until very, very recently as well. Mm. Incredible turnaround he had on that. So,
I saw the final season of Peaky Blinders. I saw the first few episodes really, 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 really early.
Oh, my God. As brags go.
But again, in a very unfinished cut. And again, just really, absolutely, really fascinated me. Like, just the way.
Famously really early.
Like, I saw, again, I like an unfinished cut.
I do. Was that because you were interviewing them?
It was, yes. Yeah, I was doing an interview.
If you do a monthly magazine interview in advance.
So I had to get them very early. But it was just a real privilege to see the unfinished cuts when they're put together. And, you know, it really, really unfinished, but great. Really unfinished.
This? That's just like about 18 reallys now.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm big on emphasis. What can I tell you?
My only bit of news, because it was going to be about Slow Horses, connected, you said Caroline Quentin, she was on Strictly, which reminds me of my only bit of news this week, devastated by Amanda Abington leaving Strictly. That was the big bombshell this week. She's announced that she's leaving the show. She's no longer going to be participating. She's had a wonderful time. But as a fan of the show, and she was fantastic on it. She was one of the top runners of it. Really good dancer. And so
shouldn't she have been dancing rather than running? Top runners.
Do you know what? That's a joke worthy of James.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah,
mine are much better than that.
Are they? No. I was gutted that she's left. But, you know, I've still got Nigel Harmon, Bobby Brazier, and Christian Grimm Murphy. Who's going to win? Oh, okay. Mm. So I think top three will be Bobby Brazier, Nigel Harmon, and Angela Scanlon, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm hoping Bobby will win.
Okay. James has no idea.
I stopped listening a while back. Sorry, what were you talking about?
Yeah.
C.
Oh, good.
Omar C.
That's the one you've chosen. Good to know. I'll write that down. Have you picked one yet, Kay? Have you picked a show? Of the three that you were given.
I feel like it should be Squid Game, but I think I'm also going to find it traumatizing.
I don't think you will from the first episode.
Oh, really?
I think the real trauma doesn't come until 3, 4, and 5, if memory serves. I think it's until you get to...
I mean, there is violence in one. Isn't there? I think
there's death and violence,
but not really grueling.
Is it worse than the Gangs of London?
Actually, it's not far off as it goes along. I think once you get to Marbles, it's not great.
All right, well,
the bridge one,
but you're right,
absolutely
horrific. I think the first episode is okay. You can deal with it.
That's right. Stop go, isn't it?
That's the
traffic light one. That one's not
shooting.
It's shocking, but it's not. It's not
full,
but later on.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah, I think you could do Squid Game.
Yeah, all right, Squid Game it is.
Threshold, so
Lupin versus Squid Game.
Yeah, go on.
That is our Pilot Plus cultural exchange. That'll be there on Thursday for everyone. Except Henna.
No, don't be mean. Anyone who subscribes, you'll get it.
Yes, that is true. That is true. And Henna, you know, join us. Listen, tell us what you think.
If you're inviting her to the studio.
If you hate it, you can always get a refund.
For the minute. Join us. Stalkers.
Right. What else have we got? So we've done the Doctor Who news. We've done the Lazarus Project news. So there are two news stories I want to ask you about. One, I'm only going to read out because this is one of the greatest news story headlines I've ever read. A24 and Nicole Kidman to produce Wrestling Meets OnlyFans series based on book. What the fuck?
Brilliant.
Wrestling Meets OnlyFans. So A24 has won a bidding war and it's for a Ruphie Thorpe novel, and it's called Margot's Got Money Troubles, and David E. Kelly is working on this. It's going to be one of those, obviously collaborating with
David
Nicole
Kidman. David E. Kelly and Kidman work together
They do. Dakota Fanning is also producing this one as well. And essentially, it centres around Margot Millett, who, as the child of a Hooters waitress and an ex-pro wrestler, Margot's always known she'd have to make it on her own. So she enrolls at her local junior college, even though she can't imagine how she'll ever make a living. She's still figuring things out. And this is a really long synopsis. Blah, blah, blah. She has an affair with the professor. Yada, yada, yada.
So she's a wrestler and...
She's alone, has a child. Hang on, we're getting to that bit. Oh, okay. She's about to be evicted. Her estranged father, who's apparently his name is Jinx. Is this the whole story? Shows up at her doorstep and asks to move in with her. Bloody hell. She agrees in exchange for childcare help. Oh, here we go. Then Margot begins to form a plan. She will start an OnlyFans as an experiment and soon finds herself adapting some of Jinx's advice from the world of wrestling.
I feel like we've watched the TV show now.
To craft her OnlyFans. This is so weird. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. Anyway, so that's the thing. The other thing I want to ask you about is The Crown. I want to ask you about The Crown, specifically Diana's ghost.
Yes.
What is all this about?
Well, funny you say that, because I was going to... There's a story on Variety. Variety have interviewed the showrunner of The Crown, and he's asked about this. There was, the story was that there was going to be the ghost of Diana appearing to Harry or William or both. Actually, probably not both. But he addressed that, but I haven't actually read the interview yet. So if you just give me...
it's live news reading.
Live news reading on Variety. Where, it was the front page a second ago. Now it's disappeared.
It's gone.
It's so annoying.
But anyway... the ghost of Diana will it be the ghost of Elizabeth Debicki?
Yeah, and there was speculation, I think, that, you know, that William was annoyed about the whole idea of it. I think it's fair to say, like, William, doesn't like the show anyway.
I can imagine.
I think this is really inappropriate and shit. I don't think, you know.
It's like, you know, imagine if Netflix.
It's so distasteful.
Well, it's a little bit. What was that? What was the Black Mirror episode? Thingy is awful. What was her name?
Oh, yeah. Alma? No.
No. Alma's not normal. She's not awful.
I can't remember.
Anyway, it's a bit like that. Imagine it's because Netflix are just making a show of his life and his family. It's like if they came out with a series called The Riberos, right? And it was just your family and you had no say in it. You wouldn't like it. You'd watch it, but you wouldn't like it.
No, of course. But I mean, the things there, you know, like with the, there's arguments whether they should be showing the crash and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and obviously that is a taste thing as well. But it's factual, right? Writing about a ghost, the ghost of Diana, is just wrong. It's inappropriate.
Yeah, it seems wrong to me as well. So here we go. Diana's ghost to appear in The Crown's final season screams a headline on the Daily Mail site. The online article quotes from the episode in which Charles, played by Dominic West, it's Charles who sees the ghost, tenderly converses with an imaginary Diana in the cabin of the royal plane as he accompanies her body from Paris to London. Later in the episode, Diana also appears to Charles's mother, the Queen. Blah, blah, blah.
No.
For the record... The princess's posthumous appearance is not meant to be supernatural, says...
I thought that. I thought it's clearly going to be them thinking about her. And
so showrunner Peter Morgan says, I never imagined it as Diana's ghost in the traditional sense. It was her continuing to live vividly in the minds of those she has left behind. Diana was unique, and I suppose that's what inspired me to find a unique way of representing her. She deserved a special treatment narratively. I think that's fine.
Oh,
it's a narrative device.
A misleading Daily Mail headline.
It's shocking. I know.
Yeah. But it's fine. I was talking about that a little bit last week. I was talking about ghosts, and it's sometimes difficult to tell, is this a ghost or is this a presence? In the mind. In fact, there's whole films that are...
Is this real life?
Cleverly
ambiguous.
Or is
it just fantasy? Is what you're saying.
as Freddie Mercury once sang. Because the word ghost is heavily, I don't know, like obviously I'm going to forget the name of the film that's with Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal, which is really about Andrew Scott imagines his parents, his late parents in that film, whose title I've forgotten. And in the original book, I think it's much clearer that they are ghosts. But in the film that Andrew Hager's made, he makes it much more subtle and much more ambiguous as to whether they're actually ghosts or whether they are his imagining them, figments of imagination. So it's a thing that happens.
Is it All of Us Strangers?
Thank you.
Yes.
All of Us Strangers. It's such a difficult title to remember.
I consider myself the Debbie McGee to your Paul Daniels.
All of Us Strangers. One day I'll get it right. All of Us.
Or the Carol Vorderman to his whoever worked with Carol
actually,
Vorderman.
Met Paul the other day. I call him Paul, like I know him.
He sat behind me.
And he couldn't remember the film, so...
Yeah, he sat behind me.
He couldn't remember it, so he turned around and asked him. What's that?
He sat behind me at the screening of another film whose name I've forgotten.
He sat behind you much like Prince Harry did when you...
We were stood. Prince Harry was standing behind me at the Late Late Show.
As it should be.
Yeah.
What? You didn't have seats?
No, you stand. We were stood, So there's
the Late Late Show, it's stalls.
No. There is seated area.
He was observing.
But the VVIPs
You don't even get seats.
We're standing.
You
at the
don't
side.
Even get seats.
I think probably for security reasons. I imagine with Harry, they didn't give him a seat because it would have been difficult.
So now this whole anecdote that you told me now comes to me because you literally turned to Harry and said to him, "How did you get in here?" Yeah. To which he responded, "Sneaky, sneaky."
Yes.
But the point is, like, you're in the VVIP wings. And you're like, "How did you get in?" As if like, who let you in?
No, I meant entirely like without being seen, like without seemingly no security.
Sneak in?
Yeah. How you suddenly arrived, you know, behind me in the standing area.
Ironically, like an apparition.
Yeah.
Like an apparition.
Was it the ghost of Harry?
Yeah. But the film I saw last night, which Paul Messick was sat behind me in, was called, right, I've got a problem with this title as well.
Okay.
It's called Dance First.
Yes.
And it stars Gabriel Byrne as Samuel Beckett, the legendary Samuel Beckett. And it's a biopic about Samuel Beckett's life. It's a Sky film, I'll be on Sky. But Dance First, I thought, what a terrible title for a film about Samuel Beckett.
Sounds like a sequel to Save the Last Dance.
Right. It just sounds like like another in a dance franchise, doesn't it? Like, Dance First.
Step up to the streets,
Step
9.
The street.
Dance
it's,
First.
Yeah, come dancing. Whatever. It doesn't sound like a film about fucking Samuel Beckett.
Bex.
Yes.
And it should go head to head with Beckham on Netflix.
It should. Oh, you're right. It should be called something to do with Samuel or Beckett or Bex or whatever.
Sammy B.
Not Dance First.
No. It does sound like something featuring Julia Stiles.
That Saved the Last Dance. Did you know I interviewed her for that film when I first started Empire in 2000?
Oh.
Absolutely true.
Did you get on?
Julia?
Yeah.
I loved Julia.
But the other way around. Did she like you?
Face. Oh my God, I don't think I've ever seen such
a
soppy.
He went a bit dreamy there.
Soppy, I'd say. Anyway.
Yeah, did we get along? Yeah. I don't know. She probably thought I was a bellend, but...
Yeah, that's why I like her.
Yeah. Anyway. She's a good judge of character. All right, one last bit of news before we move on, and that is the Fallout TV show. Created by Jonah Nolan and Lisa Joy, has got a date, and it is April the 12th, 2024, on Prime Video. And that heralds the end of news.
Thank God.
Thank God. Let's put news out of its misery, and let's move on to the section we laughably refer to as reviews. And first up this week, we have All the Light We Cannot See. This is the new show by Renaissance man Stephen Knight, who, as we all know, is most famous for Apple C. He also... May Peaky Blinders. The four-part series, this limited series, is based on the World War II romance novels by Anthony Doerr. The Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, I should say. This is directed by famous Swifty Sean Levy and stars Aria Mia Liberti. It stars Hugh Laurie and it's got Mark Ruffalo in it, who is doing an accent that I can't fully explain. In fact, quite a few people in this show, which is set in France, seem to be doing an odd English accent that seems to be a little bit Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones, part Montgomery Burns, and part comic store guy. I think you'll find. What is going on, boy? Did you enjoy All the Light We Cannot See? No. Were you able to see past
this
the
is...
curious choice of accent? Boyd, tell us, is this one that is worth watching?
Make it end.
This has to be the most extraordinary intro that you've ever
horrific.
Be ever honest. Done. Be honest. And the accent stopped you in your tracks, didn't
the
it?
The accent is preposterous. I mean, that is without
James
any...
James is all the ones on the screen.
It's not dissimilar. It's not dissimilar.
Yeah.
And I should qualify, I love Mark Ruffalo and I think he's brilliant, but I do not know what's happening
here. You know what's weird, though, is he has this utterly preposterous accent.
It's not just him, either.
No.
It's not just him.
I know, but he has the most preposterous, I think. And it is too good, it's very, but almost like Charles, but after seeing this, I saw this ages ago, right? Netflix sent this to me ages ago. And I remember thinking at the time, oh my God, his voice is so weird. And then I went to see Poor Things, which is the film, the new Yorgos Lanthimos film, which is astonishing, by the way. And he's in that, and his accent in that is really similar.
He's doing the same thing.
He's done it again. And it's like, Yorgos or someone has gone, we loved what you did with that weird quasi-British
by way of France
accent. Can you do it again? He's like, yes, I would
you guys are mean.
I would do the accent. Which is,
you do sound like Prince Charles.
It's quite Charlesian. It's a little bit Tyrion Lannister. It's got a lot of Montgomery Burns in it. And occasionally, it's a bit comic store guy.
Yeah. So, and you know what? All the way, I had real trouble coming to terms with what I thought of this show when I first saw it ages ago. And then I reminded myself watching it again last night, which is that It's got very, very heavyweight subject matter. You know, this is about Nazis and war and et cetera, et cetera. The main character's blind and, you know, it's about all of these things, about a young guy. How does a young guy who's forced, because he's a kind of radiophonic genius, to then work for the Nazis, and he's kind of abused and all of that, and is training, and can he extricate himself from, you know, from what was going on during the war as a German? Can you be a good German under Nazi? It's tackling all these big, big issues. It's got big Stephen Knight, you know, script going. This novel was massive, apparently. I don't know if you... Do you read it?
I didn't read it, but it sort of made
15
me want
million
to read
copies
it.
Or something in, you know...
It took 10 years to write.
I think in America alone. And yet... It's very, very gripping and entertaining. And the storytelling is kind of classic Stephen Knight. You know, he knows what he's doing with this kind of material. He can just make you know, understand characters very quickly. You know where you are with them. He's a great at kind of telling stories and intercutting, you know, flashbacks with flash forwards and all of that, which he doesn't do excessively. He does a little bit in this. But every now and then, something happens that just struck me as being really funny. And that accent, and Mark Ruffalo's accent is the most obvious one. And so almost any scene that he's in is mildly amusing to me, sometimes very amusing, if it's not also dealing with something really serious and heavyweight at the same time. And then it's also got Hugh Laurie with the most extraordinary beard, like a massive, gigantic Santa Claus beard. And he's being quite funny and wry at various moments in a kind of Hugh Laurie way. When they get together in episode 3, I think it is, they kind of the two go, when you see, I don't mean they get together like that. I mean they just meet each other after years apart. It's kind of funny. And I was almost at that point thinking, are they actually playing for this for laughs a little bit? So
tonally you went into
Tonal Shifts, you know, the famous T-shirt that I bought.
Which you never gave me. Yes, that
which
one.
I've still got in my cupboard.
It's his bed T-shirt now.
Yeah.
While exactly. Listening to me tweaking on that. Yeah, that's right.
Wearing James to bed. It is very entertaining. It's gripping. There's some great acting in it. I think there's the odd dodgy acting as well, a little bit, from certain people. I don't know. I'm not going to name names. I think the central. I'm not convinced. Yeah.
Well, the lead, the girl.
Yeah.
I really liked her. So, I thought she gave a really moving performance.
I agree with you. I think she's really good, and the reason why I think she's really good is partly because she is quite literally a blind graduate student with no acting training whatsoever.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. Oh, I'd
like, and
that.
I think after this, she'll go on and have a really brilliant career.
I thought she was great in this because there is a raw honesty to that performance that totally sucked me in. And I thought she was actually the standout, weirdly.
Yes, me too.
Because she's really unmannered, unvarnished, because she's not an actress.
And also, I really enjoyed this first episode. I thought it was really moving and beautifully shot and atmospheric and all those, you know. I just thought, I felt for this character, is it Marie? And her vulnerability, you know, blind. So we haven't really explained, but basically she went blind.
She's a podcaster. In World War II, broadly speaking. It's like an origin story for the Parlor TV podcast, is what it is.
She lives with her dad. She went blind when she was very young, and he taught her how to get around the local neighbourhood by creating this kind of model of it, if you like. And he's just very nurturing to her and wants her to experience the beauty of the world. The war happens, obviously, and then he leaves her.
He goes away, presumably to get some sort of elocution lessons, I would think.
Sorry.
Boys dropped his phone in shock at that impression. Anyway, so she's left all alone, and she broadcasts on the radio every night. She reads passages from 20,000. Wait a minute, where is it?
Big Jules Verne fan.
Yeah, from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And she also tells her father and her uncle, Hugh Laurie, that she loves them and hopes to see them soon. And so she's like, you know, that's her thing. And there's just such a rawness, as you say, about a performance and a vulnerability about this fact, this young girl's left alone, she's blind, she's in this ravaged house that's been bombed, and she's just there every night, dutifully, bravely, like broadcasting, even though the German intelligence are there trying to, you know, intercept any radio messages, etc., etc., that could be coded. And I really like it. And the whole thing is that Mark Ruffalo used to work in this museum. He had access to these beautiful jewels, one particular jewel called Sea of Flames, which is incredibly precious and valuable. And the Nazis, one particular Nazi, is looking for it. And so he's trying to hunt down this young girl. And I just thought the tension they built was brilliant.
And that was the other thing. So the other thing, when I was talking about the acting, she's I think she is fine. Yeah, sometimes she's good. There are just
fine.
Moments.
Wow.
Oh no. Sometimes she's really good. I know what you mean. There is an artlessness.
Yeah. There's a purity, yeah, I think, to how she acts.
But my real beef, not beef even, because I didn't really like it. I really enjoyed it. Is the knots? Some of the knots.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable, like first
pastiche, incredible archetypes of like Nazis. Yes,
like you've got the main one who's tracking, trying to track down the
just
the
randomly
girl,
killing people because he's a Nazi,
just for the sheer hell of it.
Yeah,
because he is a nasty
bastard.
He
is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Then when you think you've had one Nazi who's, I mean, you know, it's like almost comedically over the top. We know the Nazis were bad, but comedic. Then you get the other one during the training sessions.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh. Who is just even worse.
And you meet the first Nazi while he's shucking oysters as well.
Yes.
Which
is very Stephen Knightian, I think. Maybe that's in the book. I don't know. But those touches feel
shucking
very,
hell.
Very Knight-esque. But there's so much. You're right. I completely forgot about the fucking diamond thing.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
There's the whole diamond thing going on. There's the radio broadcasting, the podcast.
Well, it's a love story as well, we should point out, because you've got Lewis Hoffman, who plays Werner, and Werner is like a radio operative, a Nazi radio operative, and he's there as part of the Wehrmacht, and he's trying to track down errant radio signals, but he's kind of fallen in love with her voice over the airwaves, and he's trying to protect her from being killed by the Nazis. Meanwhile, bombs are falling everywhere. And when I first saw the trailer for this, I wondered whether it was an alt history sort of thing, you know, in the sort of same vein as The Man in the High Castle, because it's very green screen heavy, and as a result, and that's not a criticism, but the sort of style of it almost has a slightly fairy tale vibe at times, because she broadcasts as you would, because it makes sense, from like the top floor of this building.
Yeah.
It's all broken windows. You can see out over this French sort of like town, which is in flames with papers flying everywhere, and it's all very CGI. So it feels a bit sort of magical in a kind of His Dark Materials kind of way, which is slightly weird because it's quite an earthy subject matter.
Yeah, there's a slight artifice to it. That's
there
why
is, yeah.
You've completely put your finger on my thoughts about it exactly, which is that's what I was forgetting. That it feels a bit artificial.
It does.
A lot. And I'm not sure whether that's a stylistic choice. I think it partly is in a weird way, because it is a bit heightened.
It feels
it?
A bit
it's quite
both,
poetic.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. You think from the title, you know, down, and there's a bit in episode 3, I think, where they explain the title, which is quite like, we're putting
and it's
the title
not because
now,
it's wanky literary fiction.
Exactly. To those very exaggerated Nazis, it's all a bit kind of unnatural. It's all a bit not naturalistic. And I guess deliberately. So,
yeah, I think it's definitely deliberate.
Yeah, no, but. Because bottom line, as I keep saying,
but also they didn't
want
to build a replica of this entire French town in World War II.
Yeah.
So there's an element of practicality.
Netflix money.
That's true.
I mean, there's some spectacular like airplanes.
Oh, it's
fighting.
It is lavish.
Lavish.
The budget is huge.
Exactly. So it's almost like they would pay for a complete recreation of Saint Malo. I think.
Yeah.
I've been to Saint Malo.
Have you?
Yeah.
I did it when I was a kid. When I was like in my late teens, I was in a drama group, and we toured France. Like, we toured.
Hang on, you were part of a touring actors company.
What the hell?
Yeah, I was literally
like in Station 11.
I think I was like 16. Yeah.
Were you the lead? Were you the lead person?
I was just one of the troupe.
Who did you? Who were you famous for?
I did the introductory, I did the All the World's a Stage speech, Shakespeare speech.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was your Hamlet the toast of Croydon?
My All the World's a Stage was the toast of Wanstead. So yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. And we went to Saint Malo. I know, as soon as I played, I was like, that's interesting.
So this was like your ends.
Yeah.
Like, you knew it well.
For a brief period. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I really did super enjoy this thing, but it's just it's quite odd, isn't it, I guess?
It's odd.
Brilliant, kind of brilliant, but odd. As well.
Do you know what I will say? This has been absolutely destroyed critically. People
has
have
it?
Hated it.
Oh, actually, I didn't even know.
There's not loads of reviews, I don't think there have been, but quite a few have given it a proper
That's
kicking.
Interesting, because that's almost what I'm saying, is you could pick on lots of stuff to highlight, from the accents to the over-the-top
Nazis. I don't think they liked it very much.
Right. So it doesn't surprise me. Now you said that, I'm not surprised, but I did enjoy it. I can't say I didn't
Well, this
enjoy
is what
it.
I was going to say. Like, I mean, people are giving it a proper kicking.
Wow.
That seems a bit harsh. Like, I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's not the best thing I've ever seen by a long shot. But I think it was something to do with the artifice and the sense of that sort of very sort of stylistic visual feel of it. I quite like. Also, I quite like a soppy love story, I won't lie. I quite liked it. Weirdly, the Nazi was the thing that really irritated me, because it just seemed so
hammy.
It seemed so hammy and just so first base. And I was like, really?
Yeah. I think
Are
the whole thing
this?
In a way is a bit hammy.
It is, actually. I think you're right. It's quite twee at times. You know, it did win the Pulitzer Prize. Something's gone wrong here.
Yeah.
But Do you know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed it, and I didn't, you know, I didn't stop at the first episode. I watched a whole chunk of the second one as well, because the first episode does end on a cliffhanger. So I immediately wanted to see what came next. But, you know, I quite liked it. Is it great? No, it is not great. I don't think it's fabulous, but you might enjoy it regardless.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was moving.
Oh, don't be okay. I forgot you haven't chimed in yet. Tell us.
No, you did chime in.
Yeah,
she chimed in.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh. Shows how much James listens.
I don't listen.
Oh, God.
That is horrific.
It's because you didn't do it in the accent. You needed to speak properly.
Boyd and I did a little duet.
Yeah, I did a duet.
Took it on from me.
Bounced
off. Yeah, it's a bounce off.
Okay. One thumb up, two thumbs up. Two thumbs down.
I mean, it's only four episodes. It's not like
it's not a massive time commitment.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, then I'll carry on watching it.
This is all the light you absolutely can see in less than 3 hours. Four hours. Basic maths.
Yeah, once I've got through Lupin, I'll turn my attention.
Okay, good. All the light you cannot see then, which airs on the Netflix on what day, Boyd?
Thursday.
On Thursday.
It is on Thursday. Listeners.
Excellent. Smithers, release the hounds. Right, next up. We would have I'm not going to do this as a Scottish accent because, frankly, the people of Scotland would just unsubscribe to this podcast en masse. We have Shetland, which is the Scottish crime drama that began in 2013, based on the novels of Anne Cleves. Crucially, not Anne of Cleves, who's the queen of the castle. Get down, you dirty rascal.
Oh, no.
What? Sorry, I've got six on the brain. Anyway, Shetland.
You are on fire today.
If only.
I mean, which is one way of looking at that.
Shetland, obviously based on the novels of Anne Cleves, now has a new lead in Ashley Jensen's D.I. Calder. I have never seen this show. I don't know what is going on, but I do know someone who does. Kay, did this one land or was it a load of old shit?
I mean...
So actually, do you know what? I'm new to this as well, which I'd say...
You're not a Shetland fan.
No, and you would think I would be, but I've just totally overlooked it. And one of my close friends is, and she loves Anne Cleves' book. So what I would say is for anyone who's listening who hasn't watched it previously, is thinking of giving it a go, this is the perfect place because there's a new detective, no-nonsense Ruth, played by Ashley Jensen, who reluctantly returns home to the Shetland Isles on the trail of Ellen, a vulnerable witness to a gangland murder. And she teams up with, I believe it's a Shetland stalwart, Alison McTosh, played by Alison O'Donnell. And they team up to find Ellen as a matter of urgency because the two members of the gang essentially arrive and they want to hunt her down. So it's a battle, it's a race against time to find Ellen. And the thing of note here, I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'm going to rush to watch the whole series. It's a gentle detective drama, which I think will appeal to most people, especially there's a huge amount of fans out there. Stop raising your eyebrow at me.
That eyebrow
is
so annoying.
I know, isn't it? Shave it off in his sleep.
Wow.
The thing I really liked about this episode, though, is that it does have Phyllis Logan in it, who couldn't be further away from lovely Mrs. Hughes in Downton Abbey. She's like this, she is just so fearsome and scary as the matriarch of Ellen's family, who are notorious in Shetland, and like they obviously are connected, and that's going to be another strand of the storyline. So yeah, I liked it for Phyllis particularly, and that's really all I have to say about it.
I thought it was surprisingly good.
How many Shetlands have you watched?
I've probably watched a couple from like the very first series. Mm. So
well, there was a dude who was the lead then.
Dude has been in it. What's his name?
Douglas Henshaw.
He's no longer in it though.
Doogie Henshaw. No. So this is the first, I think this is the seventh series, and this is the first one without him. Mm. He's
eighth.
Left. Sorry?
Eighth series.
Oh, wait, is it? Thank you.
Good that we're coming to this early then.
Yeah.
Right, good.
Get all the facts right. Yeah.
No, we're cutting edge this podcast.
The reason, you know full well, Mr. Accent, that the reason we're doing this is to welcome Ashley Jensen into the role. It is a moment of TV history.
I think that's overselling it.
But it's a moment in you know, for fans of Shetland, it's a huge moment. Yeah. And it's a big show, it's a popular show. I was pleasantly surprised. I've only watched a couple of episodes of Shetland before, but I think it's really interesting. Ashley Jensen has taken over the role, and she's already got a long-running genuine cozy crime series called Agatha Raisin on Sky. And you were kind of thinking, oh, that's bold of her to take on this role of another detective at the centre of another detective drama ongoing. But she's got a completely different character. This woman's much more downbeat. Mm. I don't think this is crazy crime. I think this is just proper mainstream crime drama. And I think she's really good at the centre of it. She's brilliant anyway, almost everything she does. She can turn a cosy crime show into something worth watching. And I just thought the writing was good. I like the idea of her going back to, it's not the most original idea, but her being forced to go back to this place which she's, you know, which she knows so well from her past, and bumping into various people who have a clear judgment of her. She clearly was living a different, you know, before she became a detective, was an interesting figure among the locals. And as you say, Phyllis Logan, brilliant as this terrifying matriarch who's kind of,
you would not fuck about with her.
Basically tells us to fuck off in the first scene almost. And I think the setup is interesting. I think it starts in with this London, swanky London people and drugs and shooting, and you think, oh, when's Shetland going to arrive? And then she goes to Shetland because of reasons. But I enjoyed it. I think, you know, you have to see it as mainstream detective dramas go. I thought this was very good.
Yeah. In fact, there's a reason why it's on 8 series.
Rather than just good, even. Mm. Yeah.
I did think it was amusing that one of the inverted commas baddies had an interest in birds. That did make me chuckle.
Well, then he was sort of an amateur budding ornithologist.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's an odd personality quirk. Mm. This wasn't quite what I thought it would be. Mm. I did think this was going to have big ITV energy. I've got to be honest with you. Like, I thought
big,
I would be...
Big ITV energy that you describe as ITV energy. Yeah. That isn't ITV energy anymore.
No.
Facts.
Well, I thought it was going to be one of those shows where I'd just be eye-rovelling all the way through. Yes. It's not, actually. It's quite engaging and good. So, yeah. You know, sorry, no disrespect to ITV. What?
You can't be passag about ITV and be like basically a dick about it.
You know what I mean.
Absolutely. Be a dick about it and then go, oh, by the way, no offence.
While I'm saying big ITV energy, I do 100% concede there is loads of great stuff on ITV. However, when I refer to that show is a bit ITV, you both know what I mean.
Actually, to be fair, because it's like when we go, he's a bit bell end. James is a bit of a bell end. It's a throwaway comment.
Fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was good. It was sophisticated. It was gritty. It was interesting. Like, you know, it wasn't like what I would call premium, like top-end peak TV or anything like that, but it was good. I thought it was fun, quite gripped by all the Shetland drama. But realistically, if you haven't watched the first 7 series, I don't know that people are necessarily going to jump in now.
No,
but
I don't think
it makes any difference.
Point.
Yeah, no, I think Kay was right. Kay said it was.
Well, no, you could. Like, it's an entry point, sure. Yeah.
It's a total entry point.
I kind of feel like if they've ignored it up until this point, unless they're massive Ashley Jensen fans, like, why would they?
It's a whole new character. Yeah. It's almost like a whole new show.
But then they haven't watched it up until now. There must have been a reason. So
no, because people are just like,
oh my God, I can't believe we're getting hung up on this point.
Yeah,
this is
so anal. This is why he is Monica from Friends.
Exactly. Anyway, Shetland, which is not Pony, airs on BBC One. When, boys?
Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Wednesday, the 1st of November.
Fabulous.
9 p.m.
Very close to Christmas, guys. Very close.
Wouldn't know. Not getting any presents from you two. Anyway, finally this week, we have Invincible Season 2 of Invincible. In fact, this is based on the comic book by Robert Kirkman, Corey Walker, and Ryan Ottley, which is our favourite genre, adult animation, and concerns a superhero called Invincible. Now, there's no real way of discussing this without touching on the rug pull at the end of season one. So if you are sensitive to Invincible spoilers from the first season, I do suggest you skip ahead a little, as it's rather important context here. So I'll give you a few moments, though, just in case you're driving in the car, something, looking after the kids, instead of banging on about the Viltrum Empire and revealing the details of their plan to conquer Earth, we'll instead ask Boyd, were you, Boyd, able to get over your egregious prejudice towards animation to recognise what I am reliably informed is the genius of Invincible?
Not really, no. So you're referring to the fact that Omni-Man,
yes.
Played by J.K. Simmons,
the legend and the man, the myth, the legend,
turned out to be like working for a... nasty people.
Yes. Nasty, he was a Viltrum.
Yeah. Nasty, superpowered aliens. Sending his son into a tailspin.
Beating the living shit out of him. Nearly killing him. Killing all the other superheroes and paving the way for an alien invasion of Earth. Yeah. Which was apparently a really big deal.
Yeah. Very big deal. And now everyone... This second season starts off with lots of fighting among all these different people. Lots of recovering from the situation, particularly by Invincible / Mark Grayson. And the use of... A good, decent use of Radiohead, Karma Police, in one kind of montage sequence of general mass destruction.
Yes. Yes.
And Terra. It is. So on the plus side, and I think we did review, at least we addressed.
We definitely watched an episode. We watched the first episode of the first season of this. And I also, after being harangued, watched the final episode of the first season because someone made me do it.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, I think, you know, without wanting to repeat myself completely from whatever the hell I said about watching it before, it is, the animation's very good, the script... James's question even that.
Is it?
I mean...
The animation is charitably basic.
Oh, okay.
Like, it is properly, like, 1980s. Like, I'm not saying Jason the Wheeled Warriors looks like
deliberate.
Rembrandt by comparison to this, but...
I think it's got a deliberate 80s
sure.
vibe.
Sure, and I think that's absolutely true. The style is... But my issue with this comes in a lot of areas. So there's a bit where two characters are having a fight and they are punching themselves for about 30 seconds, just fine, which is fine if you're doing choreographed action. Yes. But if it is slightly shitty drawn cartoon punching...
But can I just say, you definitely said that last time, right? And I think we all... I'm trying to. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. But you definitely made that point last time.
Okay.
And I'm going to make the point.
I can't get past it.
I know. But I agree with you. I'm the same. And I do feel really guilty. And I'm sure he says that our anti animation bias. But this show, almost more than most, it highlights my issues with animation. Because for me, with animation, like something like this, you know, the shows we like The Simpsons and things, where you couldn't have, they're so fantastical and they're so, and the characters are so kind of extreme and funny, et cetera, and cartoonish, literally, that it totally makes sense that it's animated. I don't understand why this show is animated. And I'm sure I said this last time, so I apologize. It's just weird. In the days of The Boys...
Well, this feels like the Boys, the cartoon,
Z,
doesn't it?
Yeah. What's it called? Gen V. And, you know, superhero films. Every other film that comes out, as Martin Scorsese will tell you, is a superhero film. Why animate this thing? Why do it? And when I said animation was good, I meant like as in like throwback 80s style, but, you know, kind of stylized and all of that, but the characters aren't they're complete characters you'd get in a superhero film, and I just don't understand why. And so, you know what I mean? It's like, and I actually read interviews with the guy, the creator, where he talked at one point. He's asked about that there's not much nudity in this because it is an adult anime. The violence is extreme. So in the first scene, there's like limbs being pulled off, blood spatter, all of that, like you'd get in, you know, Gen V.
There's also some quite nasty sadism as well, which actually there was a part of this where I was like, there's edgy and then there's just nasty,
sure.
And I was like, and this occasionally is just nasty,
but it's pretty chaste. And they asked the showrunner about it, and he said he didn't think that nudity worked in animation. I'm like, why that in particular, if you decide it doesn't work? Everything else, it doesn't work to the same extent, or at least works better in live action. Now that you can do anything with live action, with CGI, etc. I don't get that. So it just feels, and that's again, it's largely based on my anti-animation bias, but this particularly underlines my anti-animation bias, because when you can do anything in live action, I don't get the point of this kind of show. I find it boring. It should just be The Boys. It should be like, you know, that is a cartoonish show. You know, that it's, everything about it is exaggerated and heightened, but something about it is just more pleasurable to me to watch it, to watch actual actors doing this stuff. And you know what? Finally, this is a credit to you, because you made this point, I think, in Plus about the other animated thing we touched upon, BoJack Horseman,
yes,
where you were talking about the performances being heightened, and they really are in this. Like, these it's got an incredible cast of voice.
Oh my God, doesn't
right?
it? Stephen Yeun, who obviously plays the main character, Sandra Oh, J.K. Simmons, Gillian Jacobs, Walton Goggins, God, Zachary Quinto's in this, Jason Mantzoukas,
Seth Rogen,
John Hamm, I mean,
everyone.
Yeah.
But they're
Mark Hamill, Clancy Brown.
Right? But what a waste of them all, because they're all saying everything in kind of heavy quotes. They're all going, I am doing this, they talk like that, and, you know, like a bit like Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo does all of the voices in Invincible.
Oh,
it's very off-putting.
It's like, as if Mark Ruffalo did all the voices in Invincible, but not in that accent. But they're all just kind of speaking in this slightly heightened way, you know, of like, oh my God, I have come to Earth to destroy the Earth. You know, they're all like that. I was like, it's cringeworthy. I found the whole thing. And apparently this is an amazing show, one of the biggest shows on my video, you told me.
People love it.
I was reading the reviews, people absolutely love it, and apologies for not loving it. I wild horses couldn't drag me to watch another episode.
Shetland ponies could not drag you.
Honestly, I find it completely and utterly pointless. Oh, and one more thing. Yeah. It's got a whole parallel universe, whatever it is, you know, thing going
on. It's all
on.
Multiverse. I was so confused.
Are you kidding me? we haven't had enough multiverses. Every show, and again, I think the guy wrote it before. I mean, it's been around for a long time, yes. On graphic novels or comic books some years ago, which I'm sure had their own multiverses back then. But God, listen, I mean, every single superhero film now is about the multiverse. I don't need another one. And it acknowledges it. There's a joke about it, isn't there? I think at one point one of the characters says, oh, this is a different time of multiverse to all the other multiverses you've seen in every other fucking film known to man and TV show. But I genuinely was like, oh my God, it's so boring to have another multiverse. On top of everything else, that was the final nail in the coffin.
This one's really pushed Boydie over the edge. Really, I'm enjoying this.
I did not. And it's too, every episode is like 45 minutes to an hour. So it's too long for an animated show, isn't it?
I mean, I think just to, because I'm sure all of our animation stands are currently hovering over their unsubscribe buttons. I will say our egregious bias definitely plays into this. It 100%. Is a medium that you and I struggle with, and we are 100% up front with that. It's not that it's terrible, it's possibly that we're terrible.
Definitely.
But this kind of continuing the BoJack Horseman chat, like this isn't silly in the way, because it's not comedy really.
No.
So, you know, whereas BoJack Horseman kind of is, it's comedic, it's dramatic as well. But so this doesn't have that silly aspect to it.
No, this takes itself quite seriously.
Yes. But it's still, even though it's not silly, it still, as you said, has the heightened voicing.
And it doesn't
have the visual interest because the animation is so fucking basic. Mm. And sure, it's a stylistic choice. And I think it is very much in keeping with the style of the comic books and all of these things. I'm sure they did for a good reason. But I need something. I just need something to latch onto.
Yeah.
And I had nothing. And on top of that, like I say, there was one particular scene in this first episode I thought was just nasty, just like really unpleasant and horrible. And I was like, there is no need for that.
There's no need for it, guys.
Guys, there is no need for this sequence in the cartoon. I did not enjoy it. Kay, did you enjoy Invincible?
No. Just no.
Just no.
Just no.
It's a no from Kay.
No to the accents, no to this. Like, just no. Like, as soon as I started watching it, the thing is, I don't hate animation as much as you guys. So, like, I can see that the...
Famously open-minded as you are.
Yes, I am. It's all that meditation. I can see the skill and, the artistry and the storytelling in a lot of the animation that is, you know, that we haven't previously reviewed. But this is absolutely... I could not warm or connect with it at all. It just...
To be fair, if this was in live action, you'd have hated it. I don't think there's anything about this that was ever going to work for you.
No, exactly. No. Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's not... That's all on me, not on the show necessarily. But yeah, in one word, from me, no.
No.
Did you Gem V? Were you in...
No.
Oh, okay.
She managed to... She dodged that word.
Okay, yeah.
Nothing is by chance.
Indeed.
Nothing is by chance. Invincible, then, which we did not appreciate. I'm so sorry if you're a fan, but that comes to Prime Video. It's my fault, apparently.
Yeah. Still leave us a good review, though.
Yeah, please leave us a 5-star rating. That comes to Prime Video when, buddy?
Friday.
On Friday. What else is out this week? What have we missed? Not a lot, quite frankly.
No.
Lorman Bass Reeves, which is a David Oyelowo show on Paramount Plus.
Can I just say, I love it when you ask Boyd what's on and then you answer the question yourself. And
I just remembered.
The hard thing is, he's always like quickly turning to the right page of the magazine, and then you get out and you read it.
You snooze, you lose, Boydie. Oh, you snooze, you lose. Okay. Anyway, Lorman Bass Reeves, we're going to be covering on Pilot Plus this week. Not Henna, because we thought we would save the BBC stuff for this podcast, and we are reserving Paramount Plus for Pilot Plus, but because it is in fact embargoed.
Correct. Also out this week, The Gilded Age Season 2.
Yes, which Kay strongly advocated for and was overruled. Yes,
overruled.
No, it was a slow week and they said, what else could we review? And I said, well, The Gilded Age is back.
Yeah.
Oh, it is on today or back Monday on Sky Atlantic Now. There's a thing called Unwanted on Sky Atlantic and now on Friday, which is based on the book Bilal on the Road with Illegal Immigrants. It's an Italian series about human rights, migrants, etc. Could be quite interesting. They weren't in screen, it's partly why we didn't do that, if people are wondering. There's a thing called Signora Volpe, which I think you've watched, Evan, UK. No?
Not yet.
No. It's on UK TV's Drama Channel on Wednesday. That's an Amelia Fox spy series. It might be like Cozy Spying. opposed to cozy crime. I only say that because it's on the drama channel, which is quite the home of quite cozy things. I think that's about it, unless I'm very much mistaken and I've missed something, which is entirely possible. I mean, there's other things on TV like Survivor, Banged Up. Oh, Banged Up, which I mentioned last week, which is the extraordinary celebrities in prison thing, which is honestly, you'll be...
I'm still reeling from
the whole thing, strip searching everything. Yeah. It's extraordinary. And there's a Sly Stallone documentary on Friday.
Sly.
Yeah, called Sly. Which
will
is a
you
one-off.
Not watch it because of your loyalty to Arnie?
Yeah, you have to pick a team.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Well, pick of the week.
I guess it's all the things we cannot see. All the lights.
I just realised I exclaimed and it sounded like I said ass and I didn't.
Ass?
Because I went ass.
Ass.
What do you mean to say?
Honestly.
I was going to say ass, sweet.
This has been an unusually chaotic and rambling episode of the podcast.
Anyways. Just wanted to clarify.
Okay. So are we? Is it all the light we cannot see despite its critical banning?
Yeah, I'm going to go for that.
All right, fine. It is. Yeah. No love for the Shetland. Unbelievable. Right. That is it for this week's Pilot TV podcast.
Please let it be it.
Please do head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-mark Ruffalo rating. I've stopped now.
Can I just say, please do not hold James's accent against us. Because he's just one person on this pod and there's two of us who haven't been annoying with the accent.
That is true. That is true. You can follow us on the social medias at Boyd Hilton, at Kay Rivera, at James C. Dyer, and of course at Pilot TV Pod. We will be in your ears next week when, what is out next week? Culprits comes to Disney Plus. The Fuckineers comes to Apple. Very exciting there.
Oh my God.
The Newsreader, season 2 of The Newsreader, comes to the BBC, and we might have an interview guest around that. Very exciting. And For All Mankind, season 4, comes to Apple, which means I have like a week to watch the whole of season 3. Am I going to make it? Am I not? Who knows? We'll find out. That's it. We're good. We're done. And we will, of course, have Lorman Bass Reeves on Pilot Plus on Thursday, which you can subscribe to for the minute sum of £2.99. Please do head over to empireonline.com/pilottv. Right. That's it. We're off. We're done. Kay's going to go and sit in silence somewhere.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. The boy's going to watch the rest of Invincible.
I'm going to go and watch Silence. The Martin Scorsese film.
Having listened to about 3 hours of James's accents, Silence is very much golden.
Fair enough.
True.
We'll see you next week. Pilot out.